Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. My name is Staff Sergeant Samuel Cole with the North Dakota National Guard's Public Affairs Office. I have a special guest today, Sergeant First Class Jessica Fulman. How are you doing today?
Cold, but good.
Right? We're now in this weather in North Dakota where you wake up and you can't go outside. Like, I've got a dog, and I just feel bad. It's now at this part of the year where, okay, we're getting to negative below zero temperatures. Last month, I mean, in December, we didn't have any snow, right?
No, it was like 30.
What happened?
I don't know.
If anyone knows anything about North Dakota, is that we are, I swear, the most bipolar state in the United States.
100%.
Ugh, it's ridiculous. But anyway, so you have a lot. All right, let me just ask this in general. Why did you join? You have an extensive career. Five MOSs is what I hear, and you've served for how long?
Yeah, so I'm just shy of 15 years. So reason I joined, most people usually have this family thing, this family dynamic.
Yeah,
it's usually
yeah.
the men. Mm-hmm. Well, mine's the women. Mm-hmm. So my mom retired with 26 years active federal service.
Nice.
And my aunt was like right around, I think around that 20-ish.
Okay.
So it was the women in my family that kind of pushed me. So
were they both, like what branch? Army, Air Force, Marines?
Both Army.
Okay. Both North Dakota National Guardsmen?
Both.
Ah, yeah. There we go.
Yeah, my Aunt Debbie, she was actually the commander of the unit that I'm currently in, which is the 191 MP Company.
Fantastic.
Yeah. My mom, she was always admin. So she was, I think she retired when she was in Joint Force, if I remember correctly. So.
Okay. So just a lot of family relationship that really made you want to join, kind of what you're saying.
Yeah.
So that being said, so your mom, you know, did the commander for the 191 MPs, right, is what you just said, or was it your grandma?
That was my aunt.
Your aunt. Okay, so your aunt was the 191 MP company commander, and then your mother did S1 side of the house, right?
Yep, she retired as an E7, so it was my goal to make it to E7.
Yeah?
So.
Well, here you are.
Well, here we are.
E7. Oh, gosh, that's fantastic. So I guess with that being said, so one was doing the MP job, the other one was S1. What was the initial MOS you joined in or sworn into?
12 November, so heavy equipment operator. Well, actually, at the time, it was 12 Echo, if I remember, or 21 Echo. 21 Echo is what it was.
That's just a swap of one and two. That's all it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, 100%. but it was heavy equipment operator, and that was something that was nothing that I'd done before.
Yeah,
so I was
all
right, cool, we'll give her a whirl.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of equipment did you drive? Like, was it like the big LMTVs? Were you like in a semi-truck, or like what kind of vehicles were it?
Yeah, so AIT was dozers and Hayeks and all those things, scrapers.
Okay.
Nothing that I would ever.
Yeah, thought you would.
No.
Yeah, it's like what we see when people do construction, and you're just like, big truck, let's go.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm like this tiny little person, and these trucks are huge. And that's not my jam. So
that's all right. So I mean, with you saying it's not your jam, how long were you a heavy equipment operator for?
Oh man, 3 years. So I started at the 15th down in Wishick. That was my first unit.
Okay.
And then I volunteered to go overseas with the 188th Engineer Company out of Wahpeton. And those guys were vertical
engineers.
Yeah. Okay. So your electricians, your plumbers, your carpentry, all that stuff, which led me into my second MOS, which was 12 kilo.
Okay.
Which is a plumber.
Hey, that's all right.
So, I'm handy around the house.
It's a dirty job, but it pays well. Hey, Mike Rowe has done some crazy stuff. And you know what? Power to you. I couldn't do that job, so good for you.
The school was fun. I didn't do much of the plumbing gig when we deployed, but
was there any like fun games you would do, like throw a plunger and make like that's a whole trend. Have you seen that?
No.
Where like people take plungers and they throw them up on billboards to see if they stick.
No, but that'd be fun.
I'm like, is this like a thing? Obviously, plumbers are probably like, you're ruining a good tool here. But like, like that was a trend on Instagram and Facebook. I'm like, so you're getting millions of views to throw a plumber on a 20 plus foot sign, you know, and the guy would get paid to do it, you know. Oh, it's just
it's entertaining. Really,
well, right. I mean, now I kind of want to do it, but there's no sign here on base where we could do it. And if I did do it, I'd probably get in trouble.
Well, now they know where to go.
Yeah.
You just gave it away.
Don't listen to this podcast. If you're listening, just go away. So, okay, you did the heavy equipment, and now you're doing plumbing.
Yep.
Okay, so what made you, or how long did you do plumbing for, I guess, in the same kind of context?
Only for the deployment.
Okay.
So once I was done with that, then I went back to the 815th for only a couple of months. And then I, gosh, what did I do then? Oh, I then went over to the RTC, which would be...
Crew Chaining Company?
Yep. I went over there as cadre. That was fun.
Yeah.
Definitely a learning experience on my part.
Well, and I guess that kind of goes into the future side. So like RTC and where you're at currently sitting now, I mean, we'll kind of get there. But RTC, what was your favorite and what time were you, like what year? Was it like 2003 or was it 19? Like what, when did you start doing ROTC year wise just for like generational soldiers?
So RTC would have been 2013 because I came back from my MOB in 2012.
Okay.
So it would have been 2013. Maybe into 14. I was there for almost a year.
Okay. So did, I guess, that being said, so you did RTC. Did you have, or do you know of any soldiers like now that you were technically their cadre for, their squad leader?
Fun fact.
Yeah, okay.
One of my squad leaders is actually one of those that I smoked during RTC. That's a conversation for later.
That's all right. That's a funny story.
He's, so he's come a long ways.
Yeah, no longer getting smoked. Hey, you know what? There's nothing wrong with some additional PT. It makes you realize what you did wrong in a good
That's
context.
Character.
You're getting more fit and learning at the same time. You couldn't ask for any more.
Yeah.
I was actually, that's kind of funny you say that. So, I forget. She's in the MP company as well now, too. Staff Sergeant. Oh, my goodness. I don't anyway, she's, when I started up at Troop Command S1, and that's kind of where you and I met was when I was up at Troop, I had no idea that she was working full-time AGR, and I'm like this young, I'm like, holy cow, you were my squad leader during whatever, and like Axelson is one I can remember for sure.
Okay.
Sapper guy, combat engineer, and later down the road, holy cow, now I'm, you know, he never smoked me, but I remember... Do you know your warrior ethos or any of this stuff? And I'm like, no. Push-ups, you know.
That'll teach you.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you just learn. And then, you know, 10, 15 years later, now he or she is a six, or I am X, Y, and Z, and they're doing awesome. It's just kind of cool. So with that being said, so what was your favorite experience about RTC? Was it the soldiers? Was it the chance to lead people or what?
Like I said before, it was definitely a learning experience on my part, right? I was just kind of up and becoming as, you know, going up in the ranks, right?
Yeah.
So I was an E4 when I got there. I was one of very few people that got promoted to E5 while at RTC, so they got to pin me there.
Nice.
And so that kind of created a different look for those that were going through, whether they were battle handoffs or recruits going to basic and or AIT, right?
Yeah.
So that was a pretty rare thing, actually, at the time, to see people get promoted to an NCO. Most of the time, people were just frocked. I don't want to say just as in it's lesser than, but...
Right.
Most people were E4s getting frocked to corporal.
Right,
so they were looked at as like
NCO
junior
promotion.
NCO.
Yeah, correct.
Right. So that was a pretty cool experience, actually. That was good. But as far as, like, learning my piece of the puzzle, right, I really learned how to... what worked and what didn't work in becoming a leader.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would be fairly fair to say those of us that are brand new E5s kind of have this chip on our shoulder, right? We're pretty, we get kind of cocky and...
Oh, yeah.
Like...
You just got the stripes on.
Yeah,
you're
a big
hot
deal.
Crap, you know, like... I mean, now everyone has to say at ease, and when they don't say at ease, you go, why'd you say at ease, you know?
You can stand at parade rest when you talk to me, you know?
That's actually so true you say that. And you see it with even enlisted or newer NCOs coming in now. You know, you get this rank, and then all of a sudden you feel that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like 20-plus years of NCOs are now on your shoulders. And,
yeah.
You know, there's a good thing about that. It, like what you're saying, you know, it makes you realize what works and what doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's got their different, you know, for you, is it the smoking sessions? Did you smoke?
No. I will say there was a female that had gone through and she, oh my goodness. She, how do I put this nicely? She was a huge pain in my backside from day one. Okay. And it didn't seem to matter what happened. You could smoke her till she'd puke, and it didn't faze her. Mm-hmm. You could. Ultimately, we ended up having her write an essay mm-hmm. on females in the military. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of opened up her eyes a little bit. So now fast forward. So she goes through basic. She goes through AIT. She comes back. Now, this is interesting how this plays out. Now we're going into my third MOS, which is 12 Charlie. Mm-hmm. So we were in the 957 together. And it was amazing to watch her transform. Like, she started out as this very unsquared away individual,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, just had and troubles. Now, yep.
Yeah, and fast forward a year, and she was a
kicking butt.
It was amazing to see that. Like, really cool to watch people transform from, you know, maybe immature teenagers or whatever you, right? Into these, you now have this pride about you, and you carry yourself different. And
you say things differently in a different way. That's a good thing to say. You know, there's... And I think when you become an NCO, and like you just mentioned, like you learn how to address people. And initially you're like, okay, I've got a problem soldier. How do I address, you know, them to make sure that they grow in a positive way? Because a lot of the times too, and I'm sure you experience, is like sometimes going too, not forceful, but being too direct mm-hmm. or too, you could say forceful, but too like forceful is saying you're just not doing this right or mm-hmm. you're not doing it. So it's a balance between, you know, positive and negative, not negative reinforcement, but just corrective reinforcement.
Yeah, for sure.
So like the smoking sessions or anything mm-hmm. like that. That was one of the, in this case with this soldier, you know, initially didn't get it going on. Trust me, I was the same way. And everyone's got that, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Brand new, don't know what it is. And unless you were a kid that had a dad that was a drill instructor his entire life and was smoked when he didn't do right things or, you know, or whatever the case may be. It's hard to see, but that is definitely 100% a rewarding thing, is to see that person just kind of mold into mm-hmm. almost your mini me. You know what I mean? And that's super cool to see, you know, go from, you know, from, I guess you could say, just scraping the barrels to now, holy cow, now she's running the show, you know, and you're just sitting back and you're like,
I did that.
Well, exactly.
I helped with that.
Well, and that's, I guess, I don't know what you take about it, but like some of my favorite leaders, and maybe you can even tell me a story about your favorite leader, but like my favorite leader sat me aside, and especially at my lowest point, you know, I was doing everything I needed to do, but I struggled with some things, and one of them was, you know, passing a run. I was like, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. I was going through some physical therapies and stuff like that to try to get my back squared away, and all of a sudden, he's like, just keep, you got to do it. You can't stop. Like, mm-hmm. as soon as you feel bad for yourself, the mm-hmm. worse it's going to be. So just do it, you know. And that was, like, the one word. No sponsorship to Nike at all. But, like, just do it. And, I, you know, you never thought about it. Where's Shia LaBeouf when you need him?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, that was my – I mean, you like you said, you're going to have a tough NCO on you, but then down the road they become this father figure to you in a mm-hmm. sense, and that was the way with his. Is there a specific leader that, I guess, helped you mold you into who you are today as a leader, or somebody that you took some serious word advice from?
Yes, absolutely. So – mine would probably be, I think, the first one that comes to mind when you ask that question. He's now in recruiting.
Oh.
God bless him.
God bless him.
He's
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yes. Oh, man. So he was my platoon sergeant when I deployed.
Okay.
Very genuinely, he kind of became a second father figure to me.
Yeah.
Not just because he was a platoon daddy, right? Mm-hmm. But... just as a person, I learned a lot from him. I struggled specifically with the old PT test with the sit-ups.
Yeah,
I could pass the push-ups and the run with 80s, 90s up and above on those two things, right? And I was fine. But for whatever dang reason, those silly sit-ups would just make me freeze. And there was, I think I was with the 188th for like mm-hmm. 3 months. And they were doing their PT test. And my body literally just locked. I did 2 sit-ups.
Wow.
I literally, my brain was just like, nope, you're not doing those today. And I didn't.
Oh, my God.
And, okay, so then we're going to fast forward to the MOB.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were down at MOB stations. We were down in Texas, right?
Okay.
And my squad leader and my platoon sergeant were like, Jess, this is freaking ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You are more than capable. I've seen you do all of these things, right? This is just silly. This is all in your head.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, what do you guys know? Like,
yeah.
You know, there's no chance you understand what I'm going through.
Sniffling, keeping the tears back.
Yeah.
I hate you guys.
But like you had just said, like, not feeling sorry for yourself, but like getting your mind in this deep hole of just crap, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So they took me, along with my team leader. My team leader was with me too. Mm-hmm. And three males and then myself. Mm-hmm. And they're all like, Jess, this is just absolutely silly. We're going to go to the gym. And you're just going to do push-ups.
Yeah.
Well, little did I know that in the back, I had a freaking time stopwatcher.
Oh, you're doing the test.
I'm doing the freaking test. So the way they worded it, like they're just like, okay, we're just going to go work out. So they're like, just do some push-ups. And then we like paused. Mm-hmm. I think I knocked out like 30 some push-ups just for funsies, apparently.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You passed.
Yeah. Passed. So then they're like, all right, we're just going to do some sit-ups. And so it was, I want to say my team leader was doing them with me. I think at that point it became a competition. Like, we're going to see who can do the most.
Yeah.
You know, without stopping. Yeah,
stopping is a competition. And especially if you're at this point, you're good relationships with all three of them.
Oh, 100%.
So, like, at this, like, oh, yeah, you're going to lose, you know?
Yeah, well, and I'm very competitive, you know? Like, there's always, I think there's just always been that little thing in my brain. Like, no freaking chance you're going to beat me.
Yeah.
So there we did, doing sit-ups. And I think at the time, I only was required to get, 52 mm-hmm. or something like that. And I think I knocked all 52 out without stopping. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, well, you won. I'm like, okay. They're like, well, you passed, by the way. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Like,
who had the scorecard?
Who had the scorecard?
Exactly.
So then they're like, all right, we're just going to go for a jog. Mm-hmm. And of course, I mean, I never had issues passing the run, but
yeah.
Those stupid dang sit-ups, man, they got me every time. Oh, but there we were, passing. And then, it became a confidence thing, right? So then any PT test after that mm-hmm. was I passed.
You just destroyed it.
Yeah. For dumb, right?
Well, and that brings a lot to, it's a lot something. There's, and it goes on in younger troops, I think, now today, too, like, perfectionism, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, like, I can beat this, I can do this. Mm-hmm. Like, and now you know, you've got that confidence. And sometimes you just get stuck up on so many stupid small things.
Yes.
You don't even realize you're getting stuck on them. Like, why is this taking me 10 minutes? I've sat at my computer sometimes looking at things and, like, this needs to, no, that's not right. That's not right. And then somebody from outside has never seen it. They're like, that looks great. Submit, send. And I'm like, huh? Like, you know, and you don't even think about it. And then you eventually get to it. And it goes into the working out thing. That was the big hang up with me on what was it? Oh, my goodness. I forget. Regardless, like, that's an awesome story. And to see it very similar in a sense, almost, you know, mm-hmm. both ACFT kind of related, height, weight, or whatever the case may be. Me was height, weight. And that's the biggest thing. So if anyone's listening to this online, just know that, like, whatever you're dealing with, like, sometimes just hunker down, realize it's okay to have a mistake here and there, as long as you got somebody right next to you doing sit-ups with you, or just somebody that's supporting you with it, like, you're gonna get through it. And that's the biggest thing, is that like we said, with perfectionism, you just get locked up in your head and you can't escape. And sometimes it's just like bashing through that wall.
Oh, yeah, you're your own worst enemy for sure.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Been there.
That's fantastic. I love that story. I didn't know we were so similar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the question, so we kind of mentioned a little bit, you left from becoming a plumber and then went back to the unit and then you went to 12 Charlie.
Yep. So in the midst of there, okay, so after RTC, I had gotten my fives with RTC. So I took those with the 816th before it became an MP company.
Okay.
So it was still an engineer company at the time. And they were set to go to Afghanistan. Okay. And so I had gotten asked if I would take a promotion with them and be a team leader for those guys going to Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. Of course, I said yes. I mean, obviously at that time, no husband, no kids. It was just me. Send me on all the things. Yeah. Right?
Experience life.
Absolutely. During that same time, I had accepted my fives. Mm-hmm. Around that same time, I was also a team leader with the military funerals program.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Honestly, if I could have retired doing that.
What?
I very from the bottom of my heart, I loved that. It was very humbling. It was very rewarding, and if that sounds silly.
Yeah, no.
It's a mm-hmm. beautiful, beautiful program. I love it. Everything about it. In the midst of there, I had gotten approached by an E9 who asked if I wanted to come up to the RTI and be their first female combat instructor.
Oh, wow.
So that was super cool. Flattering,
yeah.
Right? Like, thanks for seeing.
That's a nice title, yeah. First female combat
instructor. Yeah. Yeah. So to do that, though, I had to go I had to get up there first, right?
Right,
and the
right.
position that they had open at the time was an admin position.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, what, 42 Alpha, right? Does that sound right?
Yes. 40, yeah.
That's the admin?
Yep.
I should know
alpha.
That, right? Right, yeah. Okay.
It's all right. When you have so many, you kind of just get lost.
Well, they change numbers and letters.
Hey, you were just saying earlier, well, it was the 816th MP, or engineer company, but now it's the MP company, so it's like, huh?
I know, it's hard to keep track.
Have you ever met, like, somebody outside of the military world that are like, so what is 14 Golf? And you're like, oh, that's an 88 Defender. Well, it's a 14 Zulu. Oh, that's this.
Yeah.
Isn't that the same thing? No. They shoot the missiles. They load the missiles.
Yeah.
Oh, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, most people are like, oh, you're speaking freaking Greek to me right now. I don't know what you're saying, but
nope.
You know, it's fine.
It's a 42 Alpha.
Yep, so I go up there, due to the position, I had to get the 42 Alpha piece, which was fine. I mean, that makes me a little bit more marketable mm-hmm. as far as, you know, if I chose to stay in the full-time realm of things, right? So... Mm-hmm. I jumped on that pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
However, in the midst of being AGR now, mm-hmm.
Because it was an AGR position, right?
Yes, it was.
So what is an AGR position? I know it's like full-time, but is it like an active, is that like basically active army? You're getting paid for the guard to be active?
More or less.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if you hear someone say like AGR versus like ADOS. So currently, right now, I'm mm-hmm. on long tour ADOS orders.
Okay.
Really, the only difference is I'm not solidified for 20 years.
Oh, so it's like.
Right? So.
It's like just a job security change, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was AGR and. Got the 42 Alpha, and mm-hmm. then in the midst of there, I also had gotten the 12 Charlie. Was anytime the 12 Charlie guys were out doing anything, whether it was out on the demo range or out on the water doing bridge building, all
yeah.
the things, I got to go out with
nice.
Those guys. It was, oh my God, it was so fun. So we would do, I'd go out and be the, oh, words, Jess.
Is it like the lead operator for the bridging or?
No, like the support boat, basically.
Oh,
so
okay.
like if someone got hurt
yeah.
or whatever, or I would just assist if they needed another boat to help with push the bays or
yeah, yeah.
whatever the case might
sure,
be.
Sure, sure.
And so I'd go out and do that or mm-hmm. I'd get to go out with on the demo ranges and just assist with certain things, you know.
Might not blow crap up.
Oh, gosh.
Why not?
Yes. Absolutely. So that was a good time.
So
yeah.
When you left the RTI, did you go to the MP company or did you go fall back on like the 957 since you were still doing stuff with them?
Nope. After I left the RTI, mm-hmm. I went to the 957.
Okay. Yes, so did go back.
Yep. So I went there. I was an E5 still
mm-hmm.
working
mm-hmm.
there. I was a boat operator though for the 957, which easily was one of the coolest. Honestly, out of all my MOSs, the most fun is by far 12 Charlie.
I was out on the river with them this last summer, and what I mean, come on, like it is. They were testing out their new boats.
Yeah,
and you know, first off, as a senior NCO, like I want to give opportunities to my younger soldiers, and they're still doing it now at the 957. They have a lot of young, super well-trained candidates to start learning boat operations and stuff like that. So they were out testing out the new boats, and,
mm-hmm.
well, they got to train people
yeah.
on those new boats. And it was just super cool. I mean, it's something about seeing, like, this 18-year-old or this, you know, 20-year-old or somebody that's never even touched a boat,
mm-hmm.
You know, and they just light up. Like, oh my gosh, I get to drive this. I mean, you got 2 12-liter Cummins engines on the back of these things.
Oh, they're so cool.
They're huge. And, you know, I mean, these things don't look like they're fast, but they could blow the water off of any, you know, any other boat on the river. And it's crazy. And just being able to be, I mean, the stuff that they do get to do, like you say, you know, I mean, you get to blow stuff up. I mean, you're an engineer, but you're also a horizontal engineer. You're like that mix of in between where you get to do everything and everything. And our supervisor, Vanessa, she's got, you know, she was a 957 person back when they deployed to Iraq and stuff like that. And some of the stories that come out of that unit are just awesome. And that's one of the largest units we have in the state still. So, but yeah, that's, 957, I can see whoever's marketing ad campaign for them. They're
killing with the 957.
Exactly. They're fantastic. That's not to say plumbing or engineering is not bad, but if you like boats and if you're a fisherman, you know, you
get on board.
Literally, get on board.
Pun intended.
So, well, that's fantastic. I think that's a good stop. We're about 27 minutes into this. So, we're going to just kind of take a little quick ad break and we'll be right back.
Cool.
And we're back. How's it going?
I'm good.
Okay, good. We can kind of start this conversation off. You and I met at 68th Troop Command during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And COVID was, you know, horrible thing. Just across the nation, it just wreaked havoc. But it made us also realize a ton of stuff. And North Dakota was awesome. We did a bunch of stuff for the state. I think North Dakota was leading a lot of places. And if I'm wrong, that's just my perspective. But so I was doing S1 stuff, and you were over at operations. You had just, so kind of walk me through that. You were on COVID orders for how long, and then Troop Command came back on, and then that's where we kind of met, and then you did DTS and orders and stuff like that, and then, so yeah, just talk about COVID a little bit.
Yeah, so, okay, so I was working for Burleigh County as a deputy at the time.
Oh, right, because you were, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I was in between. I worked at both. I worked at the jail, and then I worked out on the road as a deputy.
Okay.
And after having my little man, I don't know, he couldn't have been more than a couple months old, and I had gotten a phone call from, I want to say it was Colonel Murphy. I can't remember if it was Colonel Murphy or if it was Colonel Tomac. I can't remember. Anyway, one of them called me and was like, "Hey, you wanna come help us out? We could really use your help."
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, I would love to, because that sounds great. So hopped on that bandwagon and went over. So the 131 MP battalion had it when I came on.
Okay.
And so I had the amazing pleasure of working with Derek Owens. And if anyone listening to this has experienced his mentorship, top notch man.
He's always said the least, but when he does say stuff, it's like...
hits you in the face.
Right exactly.
Yeah, those are... oh, great human being. So I got to work with him, and he really did a great job of, you know, setting the left and right limits, right? But we liked working in the gray once in a while, and as I feel that's now become my norm.
Well, and that's you kind of say that, and you talk about him being a fantastic leader. I mean, as leaders, you know, we all have our left and right seat limits.
Yes.
So as a photographer, well, I'm not going to be doing this part of this person's job because that's just not my job.
Mm-hmm.
But similar to like this podcast, gray area, don't know where it's going. Exactly. But sometimes it's the decisions you don't make that you think about that are the decisions that should have been made, or, you know, the opportunity, you know, how do I say it? Unexplored opportunities are the opportunities that would have been the best, and you're just going to regret it. It's not different than joining the military. A lot of people say, well, it didn't work out for me, and I really wanted to, I just didn't want to. You know, something took me back, and then as, you know, they get older, oh, man, I really wish I would have gotten in sooner, you know?
Absolutely.
Exactly. So, okay, carry on.
Yeah, so, Master Owens is helping me with, I was specific to the pay and the orders.
Okay.
There was another individual that had the DTS, and that was solely his baby. But I had the pay and the orders piece, and definitely a lot of moving pieces. I guess fast forward a little bit, and now we're over in Troop Command, which is where I...
yeah, that's where we met.
That's
so
where
if for anyone listening online, it's no different than like deployments. There's operational rotations. So certain people will stay on for X amount of any time, and then, well, they need a break. So whoever wants to take off, they take off, and then another unit will take in charge once they do a handoff and make sure no process or any kind of procedures are being lost in the sauce, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So you're at troop command.
Yep. So I still stayed with the same responsibilities. I was still paying orders.
Right.
In the midst of all of this, though, was the...
Yeah, you had to
DC.
You got called up to go to DC. So that was interesting. I remember that was, in a lot for us. And this is probably for any other state too. The biggest question was how do we get certain persons off of this order to attend this order? Attend this,
especially when it's the person doing the orders,
right?
Yeah,
well, and
it
was a huge handoff, and that was, oh my gosh, the amount. And as a younger soldier, I guess you could, think about it. When we were these younger peeps, whether it was at RTC or whatever, you knew some operational stuff. Mm-hmm. But now we're at this level where, oh my gosh.
Well, you're seeing it like almost like a MACOM level, right? Like you're seeing it come from the top all the way down. And
right.
It affects
people.
And it was fast.
What was it, 24, 48 hours?
We were, I think, if I remember correctly, from the time people were instructed to be, whether it be Bismarck or Fargo or whatever have you, right? Mm-hmm. We were on a plane to D.C. in 36 hours. That's fast.
That's insane.
That's people coming from their homes to an armory to go through an SRP, a makeshift PHA piece, like just to make sure that you were fit for duty to go, and then you were gone.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
I just could say this for anyone that has any issues with the United States, we'll beat you to the front door.
Yeah.
It's like a Domino's race between Domino's and Pizza Hut. I don't know if you've seen that video.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. The two delivery guys like running up, who's going to make it first? Guess what? USA is going to be there first.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that was crazy. I remember that was the longest 32 hours I've ever seen. And
I bet it was.
Oh my goodness. Well, and your handoff. Like you had to hand off all that stuff to somebody who, you had been on for 45 plus days of orders continuously and had been doing the piece genuinely. You know, you knew all the ins and outs. If you didn't get somebody, like if somebody went past us and like, oh, he's coming on, you're like, no, he's not.
Yeah.
There were some of the frustrations that you knew and I knew that were happening, and we didn't want to see them get any bigger, and that was like the one thing during COVID is that there was always something to fix.
Isn't that the truth?
Always something. And it wasn't so much in the fact, and it makes me appreciate just the full-time force now, the amount of stuff that happens at the unit level to make sure Jane Doe or Joe Snuffy is getting paid and like just the right way, or you're just like, oh my, I need 50 forms and 55 emails for one person.
And it's the back work that no one sees, right? Like they're very underappreciated for sure.
Right. And I guess you holding that job, I felt it when you left, like nothing against the other person, cause he was just doing as best as he could. But if there was anything that got missed or something like that, it was just like, oh man, I wish Jess was back.
I know there was, that was the one piece that I will say for sure that Master Sergeant Owens helped me with is his thing was, there wasn't an SOP, right? There was no instructions for COVID,
right?
We just had to make it up and whatever became efficient is what we went with.
Right.
And so I think one of the things that he taught me, and I even carried it into my job that I have now, is create your own. If there isn't one, create one.
Right.
And it could be as simple as like, here's a cheat sheet or here's a person of contact if you run into this problem, right? And that's just becomes the start of your SOP now. And I think that was something massive that has helped me, and I'm hoping helped whoever came in to fill my position when I went to DC.
Yeah.
Well, and that helps out a lot.
It's interesting you say that because like you said, COVID is, it was unexplored territory. No one knew what to do. First off, medically, no one, what is this virus? How do we fix it? Whatever, but especially the Guard's response. I'm pretty sure every state activated the National Guard to help with COVID testing, just support with medicals, lab stuff, And it literally was the wild, wild west. Like, what is the SOP? And I think that's really kind of cool for us to kind of look back and say, I was a part of a program. Not, different people come in at different times, but you were a part of literally the wild, wild, wild west. you know,
it's like a piece
west.
Of history now with North Dakota.
100%. And yeah. that's just super cool. And yeah, you sometimes it goes back into that gray area that you were talking
about. Yeah.
If you're not willing to take the chance, you're never going to succeed. It's mm-hmm. like the analogy. You're never going to succeed if you don't jump off of cliffs, or you can't climb a mountain until you jump off a cliff,
yep.
you know?
Absolutely.
So that's just super cool. So fast forward past COVID, we're done with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you now, we saw each other. So I was at Troop Command, and then you had worked with us on Troop Command. You got a full-time job, ADOS currently.
Yep.
And then this last year, we went to Best Warrior Competition.
Yeah,
I was a photographer, and you were the enacting first sergeant.
I was.
That's exciting, right?
Yeah, it was. I was very nervous, actually, because yeah. I hadn't been in E7 very long. I mean, I had been acting or been in an acting platoon sergeant
right.
role for a minute, but... Mm-hmm. That's a big responsibility.
Well, you hear Best Warrior, and you're like, an acting first sergeant of Best Warrior. So that means, like, you're with the state's top dogs, you know?
Yeah.
In a sense. That was the funny... So, for me, that was my first time ever attending. Like, I was a photographer. And
mine too.
The first... Yeah, so, like...
Yeah.
like, one of the things that I was the most... interested on, and you can tell me yours as well, but like how well it ran. I was so impressed with mm-hmm. the cadre. I mean, including yourself, getting people on time and stuff like that. What was it like? What was it like being the first sergeant? I mean, especially being your first time mm-hmm. there and not knowing what to expect or the people, you know?
Yeah.
So what was that like?
So a little backstory, I guess. So I guess from the unit perspective in a leadership position, you know, the state's always asking, who do you want to send for Best Warrior? Who do you want to send? And we're all like, ugh, dang it. We're trying to train. I don't know. Like, I'll get back to you. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
However, a lot of times I think what happens is in certain units, maybe there's like, hey, you got a high PT score. You should check her out.
Right, right.
Give her a whirl, you mm-hmm. know? And ultimately we ended up having quite a few from the MPs that did wonderful. They, mm-hmm. they competed very well.
Mm-hmm.
But your underdogs, and this is no digs on anybody, but the band guys, man,
I'm a band member.
I know.
2 out of 3 years, baby. Let's go.
Atlanta. they did so good. But I think very truthfully from the outside, and before having this experience, mm-hmm. I really think that when I thought of Best Warrior, I really thought of like, oh my gosh, this is a pride thing, right? Like,
well, unit pride, and I mean, it's also almost like bragging rights too. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Competitors that are, it puts that. I mean, when you think of that Best Warrior, you think, okay, the guys that are like testosterone filled, females,
yeah,
are like,
I'm
gonna beat
perfect.
You, whatever, or you know, people that are like over. I'm not overqualified.
I don't want to say cocky, but for lack of better words, I'm going to say cocky.
Well, and that, you know, that kind of like, it goes into competition. You
yeah.
have to be a little bit cocky, but, and kind of what I think you're going to say here, but I was impressed on just the camaraderie between them and the respect that they gave. And it made me put in perspective. And I mean, we all know the saying, assuming makes up out of you and me, you know, won't say the word, but, how well, and it, you know, we all think about certain things, but the respect and the mm-hmm. camaraderie between those people, it's insane and it's awesome. It brings out the best in all of them.
I agree. You know, after having that experience of, you know, not having like a really good taste in my mouth about it, right? And mm-hmm. then getting asked to do it, and I was like, in the back of my head, I'm like, oh shoot, am I not mm-hmm. gonna enjoy this, you know?
Right.
Plus they had the pleasure of having my husband the year before, so so now we're two Fulmans deep into this Best Warrior thing, you know. And it was, like you just said, it honestly, from the bottom of my heart, it was really cool to watch all of these people mm-hmm. from different units and significantly different MOSs, right? You had engineers, right. You had MPs, you had band, you had, I mean.
Oh, we even had Ghana.
Yeah, Ghanaian. Yeah, we had four of them. That was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
That was so cool to see how they were included in everything, but also that they had a sponsor, right? So even though there was a little bit of a language barrier, mm-hmm. their sponsor did an incredible job,
yeah,
you know, facilitating anything that could have been missed or misconstrued, you know, whatever have you. And it was really cool to see. I think by day two, comfortably day two, you know, there was a couple guys that had done Best Warrior before and kind of knew the ropes, right? And so it was really, really cool to see, you know, how they really created this little family dynamic. Like at the end of day two, yes, they were still competing, but now they're like rooting for the other one, right?
That's
like at the, whether it was the ruck march or, you know, the obstacle course, whatever have you. Whoever finished first was running back, whether it didn't matter how far back, they were going back and cheering each other on. And then I think that's what it was all about, you know?
Right.
Yeah, you're definitely competing for your place, but it was really, really amazing to see people that have probably never met each other before that experience and having someone in your corner, you know?
Right.
And I think that's one of the cool things about the military in general.
What I was just about to say, like, that's one thing that this organization, majority, is we're always, regardless if you had a fight the other day or you're competing against each other, you're there for one purpose. And that is to be the best that you can be. That's an ad campaign from the active army. Sorry, guard. That was actually totally impromptu and it worked out perfectly. But you know, and I, as the photographer, you know, there, and we had conversation in between certain events and like who, like it's just super cool to see this, including like you said about the Ghanaian soldiers.
Absolutely.
There was, this female Ghanaian soldier was destroying.
Oh my gosh.
And I was
so
like,
cool to see.
I was like, whoa. And I think for as a leadership thing, you know, and I'm a part of that generation where we kind of came on the end of, you know, the global war on terrorism. We're still a part of it, but not as many deployments as the initial go ahead, you know, in Afghanistan and stuff like that. The amount of opportunities that most soldiers get to see and work with outside people or outside, you know, stateside, whether it be Ghanaian or be Togo, Benin, or any of that stuff with our state partnership, but even other forces across this, Germany, you name it, any other foreign military, us younger soldiers haven't had the opportunity and never will ever see that opportunity. A lot of the MDAs don't get that, depending on the MOS, you know. So it was really cool to see the interaction between that partnership between their soldiers and ours. And to be able to capture that, I think that even also brought in an extra level bit of competition. And the sponsor had pulled me aside and he's, they never get to see these training sites. So for them to come here with us and participate in it, it makes them think, oh, wow. So this is the stuff that you guys train on. And it was cool. They implemented the old 1942 World War II PT test.
Oh, that was so cool to see. I'm like, oh my gosh. When I saw this, the like shuttle sprint they had to do, God help me. There is no train. I mean, I'm in the military. I'm old now, right? And oof de me. That's not.
And I remember capturing one photo that was like my favorite shot. And it was of this female Ghanaian soldier just leading the pack from the get-go.
She went off from that start line and there was no stopping her.
Yeah.
You could have seen smoke coming up from her feet.
Well, exactly. And it's just super cool to see. And like you said, going back and helping other people with it, whether you're tired, you're hurting, in just the learning aspect. I mean, the people that had been there for a couple of years, I think one of the MP soldiers that was there was the junior best warrior a couple of years before. And just to see that type of teamwork continue happening, it's not so much, I mean, the title is the title, but like you said, it's about working to achieve something greater than yourself.
Yep.
And it really makes, I think, us stand out in a sense. I've had discussions with previous best warriors, you know, Dayton Slama and Zach Fisher, who is a band member, you know, and we've kind of just talked about it. It for young NCOs and junior NCOs, it almost brings a new light to the military. You know, if you're an M-Day soldier and all you deal with is this plumbing, you know, you're unclogging toilets or whatever, you know.
But plumber, get it right, man. Come on.
How many plungers did you have on your utility belt?
None.
And how many of them were on amber status? I don't know. They were all loaded though. But you know, so that was the one thing that I've always gotten back as a number one comment is that it makes you think like in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, initially when you're prepping for it, you're like, I'm gonna win this thing, and then you start working with people, and then it just changes this completely different outlook. And I think that's just fantastic. So, what was your favorite event that you got to watch We kind of briefly talked about the ACFT, but mm-hmm. like, what was the one thing you liked? Or what was the funnest event you get to see them do?
Oh, man. I really enjoyed the listening to the boards.
Oh, yeah.
But the funnest all-around thing, I think, was the Ruck March. And the only reason mm-hmm. I say that, before I was injured, mm-hmm. I love Ruck Marching. I think I would rather do that. I could do that all day versus going on a two-mile run.
Right.
Right? But it was, I think it was that event where we really got to watch how the competitors really started rooting for each other, you mm-hmm. know? I will say right out of the chute, there was pretty much no chance that anyone was really going to catch the Ghanaians. They were literally running.
They had like almost a 30-second split. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. It was insane.
Minute split.
I'm fairly certain I walked up to Sergeant Major Struxness and my jaw was dropped because I'm like, there's no chance that that clock right there reads mm-hmm. a minute and 19 seconds.
Right. Well, and it kind of brings into perspective of like the training. So we have to train to fight to win, right? Yeah. So, you know, in Afghanistan or stuff like that, a big thing for us was, you know, terrain features mm-hmm. and the land and the scapes. Same thing with Vietnam, you know, things sure. that we don't know about terrain. And it kind of brings into sense like, okay, we have access to equipment that, mm-hmm. you know, whether it be a Black Hawk or whether it be Humvees or X, Y, and Z, other countries don't have that.
Yep.
So they're going to be really strong in ways, you know, and that just makes us think, oh, wow. Okay, and it's an eye-opener,
sure.
you know, like, holy cow. And you're 100%, they didn't stop. They ran an entire mile with kit. We're not just talking...
and ruck. I mean, we're not
just talking a rifle. We're talking rifle, 75-pound rucksack, mm-hmm. plus carrier with plates in, and they're doing X plus amount of miles, and they ran an entire mile around a track, and then they hit the road... to do another however many miles.
Well,
and they
the were first mile was just to get their bearing, right? Like, here's what your time is in the first mile.
Right.
So they could gauge their time, right?
Oh.
So that's what the first mile around the track.
Okay.
Set. So that's what that was for,
see what their
right?
split time was. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Yep. And then once they were done with that, because it was a 6 mile ruck total, right?
Right.
So that first mile was just around the track to see what their time would be for 1 mile.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they get to go out on the track, and now you're on concrete, and then you're mm. on some grass,
elevation
and then
change.
You're on some
dirt roads,
and then you're yeah, and so it was just really fun to see how that all played out, and that was yeah, like I said, that's when we really got to see them rooting for each other.
Yeah,
and it was also really fun. I mean, I didn't go out with a ruck, but I was out with them for 3 of the 6 miles mm-hmm. walking with them.
Oh, you had to also go back to the beginning start to make sure things were squared away.
Yeah.
There. So that was, and I actually saw, what was it, OCS grad had their,
yes,
had
they
their
did.
Ruck march at the
yes.
same time. So that was kind of cool. These, you know, lieutenant yep. colonels and all these other officers are seeing these, are just out there doing the work with them.
Yeah.
Not following the same path, but, you know, they were out rucking and
yep.
while best warriors going on. So that was kind of cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah. I hopped in with the medics and we were passing out, oranges and making sure they had water. And
I saw a couple of bananas
we
in their banana mag holders.
Yes.
But we don't have banana mag holders. They're just mag pouches.
Yeah, that was good.
That was funny. I saw a couple of them. When I saw the one of the guys that I knew, I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
You look like tactical Donkey Kong right now.
Yes.
Like, stop.
The cramping is a real thing.
It's true.
One of them, yeah, we had one that locked up for a hot minute, and so gave them some bananas. And
they carried on.
Carried on.
Yeah, shoot.
Yeah.
I think my favorite one was the grenade range. You know, being a band member, I don't mm-hmm. see that kind of stuff all the time. There's mm-hmm. been, I mean, it's no different than me when I got on go with the 957 for the first time. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
The band, we do a lot of military stuff still. You know, we have to do all of our requirements, but we don't have the access to mm-hmm. to do the specific types of training that most other MOSs would do.
Are you guys mostly just individual weapons?
Yeah,
okay.
Mostly individual weapons. We don't really do anything with squad automatic rifles or anything
sure.
like that, but we just nationally just qualify under individual rifles. Mm-hmm. So when we got to go to the grenade range and see all that kickoff, there was some really cool stuff that I got to say. And I haven't handled one since basic training, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was really funny. The best story that I have on it, me and the other public affairs soldier that were covering this event, you mm-hmm. know, at the end, you know, if people are done shooting, everyone's gone through, because you're never going to have an exact amount of ammunition to spend. Well, we had to, you know, expend the rest of X amount of rounds.
Sure.
And so Command Sergeant Major Weston looked at me and was like, hey, you want to go? You want to shoot this thing? I'm like, yes, please. And I sucked. And he said, you're wasting all my rounds. And I'm like, oh, crap.
Seems like a very accurate statement from Sergeant Major Weston.
Come on. He's awesome. He's awesome. You know, and it goes back to that tough leadership. Yep. Like, you suck. I know. You know.
The most blunt, hilarious one-liner guy. Oh,
well,
my Lanta.
And so this was the funny part is the other person that I was there with covering hadn't shot one at, like, in a long time. And,
sure.
His name is Bond, and I always call him, he's James,
oh.
not James Bond, but Don Bond. And
I've
always
this
called
story
him
from
double.
Wesson.
Yeah, I've always called him 008 Bond because not 007. But we had those rounds to expend, and he was like, "No, I'm okay. I don't want to shoot it." And I'm like, "No, you're going." And Bond is the sweetest dude. Like, is just hardworking, you know, just not that kind of person that, like, actively looks to blow crap up or do crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, nope, go do it. We got a couple rounds for you. And this, he walks up and starts nailing every single shot. And Sergeant Major Weston looks at him and is like, we got a killer. And I'm like, I was like.
It became the running joke, Sam. It did. So I saw Sergeant Major Weston not long after that. And he's like, it is now my mission. He will be a best warrior. I'm like, that should be the slogan.
Well, so we had some jokes about it when we were editing the photos in the back. Mm-hmm. And Sergeant Major walks in. He's like, we're going to paint our faces green for the ceremonies tonight.
Gee
and
whiz.
They sure as heck did it.
Yep.
And it was so cool. And to see him walk up there and outshoot everyone, all the competitors. He was the top shooter. And, you know, it goes back to, like, what you said, like, and all, the band won. I think that's the best part about this organization. No matter what MOS you choose, no matter what spy you're in currently, one person will do so well at something, and it just completely different from the characteristics, you know? And it was super cool. And the amount of, that was such a confidence booster for him. And that was my, I mean, I think that was the reason why that was my favorite event. It wasn't something that I specifically did well in, but just to see that interaction happened between two completely different people, right?
But how cool for him, never had, well, even if he did pick up this weapon system before, probably not for a hot minute, right?
Yeah.
And how cool for him just to go up there nonchalant when you have all these other people that are out there like, I'm gonna get it, you know? And they don't get it, and now he got it. And it's like, but right there, it's like, someone else's strengths and someone else's weaknesses really do play a part in the whole big picture, right? Like, I can't do something all the way without your help in something else, right? And vice versa. Like, my strengths might be your weaknesses and vice versa. And that's what makes a really good team. And so it's really cool to see all of that happen in one place over a span of 4 days.
Right. And that kind of goes into, like, what you're saying with leadership in the past. We touched on it a little bit. And what you just said right there is the key to leadership, I think, is finding what somebody's good at.
Absolutely.
And just capitalizing it. And that is his job. No different than, Messer or Owens, you know, saying, this is our job and you got to get really good at it. You know, that is the key to it all. And I guess, you know, you being a female in a MP company now, you actually were the enacting first sergeant a little bit, right?
And NCOIC, if we're being very politically correct.
Same thing. You just don't get to wear the rank.
Yeah.
But, you know, being able to, as somebody that, you know, or is not in that job and then gets tasked to do that job, and you having these things with your five MOSs or whatever, with these opportunities, the 957 person and the RSP stuff that you learn, and then the intricacies of major command stuff as a leader, and, you know, even as a female leader too, like, that brought so much more. I can just about imagine your soldiers seeing that brought so much to the table. So it just is fantastic on how all that works out. And I guess one of the last questions that I'll ask you is there anything you'd like to say personally? Is there anyone out or, you know, go 8/16 or any of that stuff?
Well, it's my husband's unit. Come on now. No.
Oh, right. He took back He took it back.
Yeah.
Is that ever like a competition? Like, I was the better first sergeant?
Well, no. Well, I've always been a rank behind him. So, I take that back. there was like a couple months where we were both E7s at the same time, yeah. which got really confusing because I'd get emails that he was, but it was, yeah. it
hey,
was Fulman, a whole thing.
What?
Yeah.
Son of a.
It was definitely a thing. But no, for the most part, I've been a rank behind him. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the next few years with the upcoming first sergeants in the MP companies. Because
right. Do you think you might be there?
I don't know.
Is
I'm
that
hoping.
Something you'd like to do?
Well,
I mean, you've
what a concept, though, right? Yeah. Like, okay, if I stay with the 191, mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be plausible for me to stay with them as their first sergeant just because right. you got to venture out and do other things, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so if I were to do that, my really only other option is to go to the 816th. Well, what a weird thing to have two Fulmans back-to-back as their first sergeant, you know? Mm-hmm. Is that going to be a conflict of interest
well,
of some
right.
kind? I don't know.
Well, we liked this Fulman. Let's see how the other Fulman
yeah.
does. I hope. Hi, honey, you got any tips? No, learn it yourself.
Yeah. It is really funny, though. You know, I mean, I will say this. It is very cool. Like I just said about strengths and weaknesses, mm-hmm. right? And if my husband ever hears this, he could probably attest to this. I'm very strong on the people piece, right? Like I'm good with people. I'm definitely more of like a mom figure. Mm-hmm. For the love of God, my platoon at the 191 called that I was mom, right?
I love that.
So for him, he's always been very, very strong in the tactical piece. So we really do bounce things off each other. Like, Jess, how do I get through to this person or this group of people? How do I fix this? And mm-hmm. I'll give him my 2 cents. And about 95% of the time it works. If I have tactical questions, he's my first go-to, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So it's a really good, I mean, yeah, obviously we're married, right? But we make a good team as far as the soldier piece.
I love that.
So that's kind of cool.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's going to be a poster. Boop. The Fulmans. That should be a
the
sitcom.
Fulmans.
The Fulmans. All right. Well, Jess, I have loved this episode. Thank you so much for being on this podcast. And for anyone listening online, if you like what you heard, feel free to follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, anything that you'll have this podcast on. We don't just do awesome podcasts. It's just a blast. So thanks again, Jess, so much for being on.
Of course.
Hopefully we can do episode 2. I feel like
we can
totally carry on with this. I love it. So, all right. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.